Well, Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, well, this is not 28 through 20, but this is a portion of that. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And I got this little picture when I was flipping through the internet looking for icons for my slides. I thought, well, this is just what we did a couple weeks ago. We got on a plane and we went around the world, across the ocean to go help people become better and learn how to make disciples. And a lot of times this is what people think of missions. They think of the Great Commission. They think of the Great Commission as going out to all nations. And all nations includes this nation. And many of you know that the Greek would actually say, as you're going. So in other words, as you're going about your life, you should be making disciples. This is the commission that God has given us. And yeah, sometimes we get to travel overseas, but most of our disciple making should happen where? Right here. It should happen right here. And
hi everyone, I'm Arnold. Uganda is my country. Now, this is an opportunity and we are very grateful. I'm very grateful to our wonderful teachers, the TPAI. We are very grateful for this opportunity. I'm very grateful for this opportunity to learn how to disciple believers. You know, before I used to know, if you are a follower, that's all. You can go to heaven, you can be a Christ follower and end there. But right now I know discipleship is the way to go. You know what? A follower must be a disciple. He must grow up to become a disciple. Now I know I must be spiritually growing each and every day, each and every time. I should disciple someone to go and disciple someone, and that someone should disciple another person. We are very grateful for our wonderful teachers. May God bless them. Amen.
Amen.
I've got a couple of videos here that I didn't use last week. I was going, how many of you think that's what Jesus' disciples were like? I think that's what they were like. They were in a religious system where they were trying to make it and obey the laws and be good people and so that they would be accepted by God, but they were struggling in a world sometimes that was pretty difficult. And then Jesus comes along and he says, hey, what do you want? And they said, we want to know where you live. We want to know, you know, we want to know about you. And he says, well, come on. And he teaches them how they're supposed to relate to God, how they're supposed to relate to each other, and how they're supposed to relate to a world trying to redeem it. And I think that they were excited like that, don't you? I love the way that they receive revelation from God's word. It's exciting. They see that God wanted to do something that they hadn't even thought of. And what are they doing? Man, they want to do it. It's like, I'm so grateful. I used to think this way. I used to think it was just like, you get saved and you're sitting in the church pew and that's it. And now I realize, no, God's got to work for me. I've got to seek him. I've got to grow spiritually. I've got to help other people grow. I've got a purpose in my life. And he's all excited. And that's really great. I also saw this slide and I pulled it off. I didn't make this one up. I pulled it off, but it says, can you be a believer and not be a disciple? That's a good question, isn't it? Can you be a believer and not be a disciple? Well, I'm telling you what, everybody wants that to be true, don't they? We all want to be able to be believers without disciples, and we want people who are not disciples to still be believers because we don't want to think about the alternative. But I want you to think about the things that Jesus said. Not just throughout the Bible, but the things that Jesus said. Jesus did not commit himself to the crowd. What crowd was that? That was the religious crowd that was coming to hear him teach. He didn't commit himself to them. Why? Because he knew what was in their what? He knew what was in their heart. You know, it's interesting that Alan was just up here and he said, God, forgive us because we think that it all revolves around us. But who does it revolve around? It revolves around God. And we are the servants of God. We are the children of God, been adopted into his family. And we are the ones who are the ambassadors of Christ. We are the ones that our Heavenly Father has committed the ministry of reconciliation to. We are His representatives. We are the ones that He has called to, as He sent Jesus, Jesus is sending us now on the purpose of redeeming the world. We are followers of Christ. What does that mean? Can I follow Christ without following Christ? Can I follow Christ and not have the commission, which we call the Great Commission? This is the purpose of our lives. This is what God wants to see from each one of our lives and from the church. Can we follow God if, when we think of Christianity, that doesn't even enter our mind? Are we really following God that way? What is a disciple? Well, a disciple in the ancient world is what we would call kind of an apprentice today, only in a bigger form. It's a person who identifies someone as some type of master at something. And it's something that they want to attach themselves to and they want to be like. And so maybe it's a bricklayer. And, you know, here I am, a young man, we'll pretend. But I'm a young man. And I want to have the kind of life that Scott as a bricklayer, a master bricklayer has. And so what I do is I start hanging around Scott. And I start saying, hey, can I help you? Let me carry the bricks for you. And I start doing things like this, hoping that I will win some favor with him. And if I win some favor with him, then I will say, hey, look, you know, I'm already serving you. Can I be your disciple? Will you teach me how to live and to work and to do the things you're doing so that as you pass on, I can take over and I can complete the work that you began? And Jesus says, he says, look, you didn't choose me, I chose you. That was the difference in what he was doing, because the disciples probably didn't think they were worthy to be able to take on the mantle of spreading the good news about God's forgiveness to the world. But God chose us, even though we don't see in ourselves the ability to do it. But a disciple is someone who wants to be like his master. And he wants to complete the work of his master, which is what Jesus said we would do. As a matter of fact, he says we'll do greater works than he does, which is hard for some of us to understand until we realize that no one was born again into the kingdom until after Jesus rose from the dead and the Holy Spirit came down to live in who? In us. Now, he's still doing the work, but he's doing it through us. When he called the disciples in Matthew 4:19, this is a key verse. He says, come, follow me. That's what he wants us to do. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. This is what he does to people who follow him. He makes them fishers of men. So if there's no desire to be a fisher of men, there's no desire for me to impact, there's no desire for me to draw people to Christ and have them find salvation and to grow and to be matured and be used of God as part of his kingdom. If there's no desire inside of that, am I really aligned with what God is calling me to?
Yeah, I'm Dennis Chigambo from Kampala, Uganda, East Africa, from Victory Living Word Church. I'm so grateful for TPI, for the teachings that they've given us, for the teachers that have been able to teach us. I'm so thankful because before I was doing the commission of God, I was just doing part of it. But because of the teachings they have taught me about discipleship, I'm able to do the whole commission that God has called me out to do. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for the Bible Concordance that they have given us, for all the tools that they have given us. And I would like to say it in Uganda, in our local language, Mwebale nyo mukama abawo mukisa.
Now, I'm playing some of those to show you their enthusiasm, but also, you know, these people feel like they know you. Because as we come and we've shared with them about how to read the Bible and how to grow spiritually, and then this year we come and we spoke about how do you share with other people how to learn how to read the Bible and grow spiritually and find and do God's will for your life, we've told a lot of stories about you. And they relate those things because they see you living that out. And we have, you know, I was just in here before service started. And I heard somebody come up, and they've got a teenage daughter, and they were talking to another teenage girl and said, hey, how are your meetings going with my daughter? She's doing this as a 17-year-old girl because she has captured and understood what it means to follow Christ. And she understands that we are asked by God to go and make disciples. Well, people do that in a lot of different ways, but that has to be on our mind that this is what God has called us to. The goal of the Great Commission is disciples. It's disciples. And it's sharing life on life. It's more than just what's happening right here, where I'm speaking to you, and I'm laying out some clear things that God's Word says that a lot of times we don't really stop and think about. But it's more than that, because it's walking with someone and helping them learn how to do it and learn how to understand what it means, showing them how to do it. And the process begins at home. And it begins with Dad. That doesn't mean Mom doesn't have a big part of it. But our first mission field, our first field of evangelizing to bring someone into the kingdom and then taking responsibility that God has given us to help them grow up so that they can become followers of Christ and they can achieve God's will for themselves. So the next generation, hopefully, is even stronger than ours. It begins in the home. It doesn't stop at the home, but it begins there. And everyone has got that call in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 8. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. That means whatever I'm thinking about, whatever I'm doing, I am aware that I am teaching, I am making disciples, and I am teaching them to obey all the things that God has commanded. All those things. How do I follow God? How do I surrender to God? How do I seek God? How do I know God and know and able to follow his direction in my life for achieving his purposes? Do I even know what his purposes are? It's my responsibility to send that message and to help that develop. Now, I can't develop, the Holy Spirit does, but I'm a tool the Holy Spirit is using in my children's life, in the lives of people that I work with. Or used to work with. I guess now I work here, so I'm I don't know what you'd call that, but the people that I come in contact with, my ultimate goal is for them to know Christ and understand how to have a relationship with him and how to follow him. Let me just back this one up as I go. The reason I'm putting this one on is it's Stephen again, and Stephen feels very, very close to this church. He wants to come here really badly. The reason is because he has known, as our interpreter, he has had a very close relationship with a bunch of scattered people in this room, and it goes beyond just him sitting there and hearing teaching. He knows our lives. He knows our love for him, and we're his family, and he feels God working and teaching him through some of the people who are sitting in this room. And so I'm just going to play this for you because he's always been about evangelizing, but through this teaching that we did, he came to learn, how do I disciple people? And guess where he started? He's got his family in there and he's discipling them. And he's doing that in a different way than he'd done before, and he's all excited about it because he sees the difference of what's happening in there. And here he is, he's going to try to let peace say thank you to you, but he's so excited about things, he really has a hard time doing that because he wants to get real quickly to asking her what she's learned since he's been discipling the last 2 days since we've been there.
And we just want to express...
Oh, what a beautiful way, like Daniel Sanders. Thank you so, so much. Sister Kathy, Pastor Bill, Dave Dia, Jonathan, John, wonderful teacher. God bless you so much. I do something with your ministry. The humility, the humbleness we see in you has taught us to be humble. But now I've learned how to be humble and still. You know what? Get ready.
And you just
what wait. I love with her, she has a wonderful voice. By that piece, one thing I love about you is your voice.
Thank you.
Okay. Hello. Salute to our wonderful family.
Hello, family. We just want to express our gratitude to the Easthood family. Thank you for being there for us. We don't take your friendship lightly. We say thank you. May God richly bless you. We love you.
A peace before you say bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Now, being an ambassador, what did you learn with the ambassador of God?
That I have to always represent the kingdom of God.
Wow.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you think there are some good things coming with being a good ambassador?
Yes.
Sure.
There is a reward in that.
So, do you think it's our role to make more disciples, or we should just sit as long as we are safe?
It is the only role we have on earth, to disciple.
Do you think it makes God happy?
Very.
Really?
Yes, it pleases him.
Wow. So, should we expect a disciple? A peace with a disciple?
Yes. More than one.
So, as before the people of Chattanooga go, am I a good husband? Be free. This is my family. They love me the way I am. They don't care.
Yes.
They just love me. Am I a good husband?
Yes, you're good husband and you're improving.
Sure.
Yes.
Hey, Peace, I have a question. Is he a handsome husband?
Very handsome. And he has given me handsome voice.
That's good. Let me pray for you.
There's a couple of things right there. One, when he's talking about humble, he's talking about being submitted to what God wants rather than what he or what the culture tells him. Because you notice that... He has tried to teach his wife before, but he's never been successful at it. And most of the people who were there, these pastors who were there, they don't do any type of spiritual discipling with their wives, because when they've been motivated to try, it doesn't go very well. Because in their view of how things are, they just teach them. And he had learned that, you know what, if I just give all of this theology to my wife, she doesn't remember it and she doesn't enjoy listening to it. But if I will pull these scriptures out and I will ask her questions and I will let her see it for herself and let her kind of discover what God wants, then she gets excited about it. And so he was kind of demonstrating that for us. Why must we make disciples who love Jesus? Why would we need to do that?
Hello, I'm called Alex, and I'm a minister in Uganda. I lead the youth, and for this class, I am so grateful for learning a lot about discipling. I've always asked myself a question: how can I get somebody to grow as a Christian? And I've realized this is one of the main important aspects for one to grow. As a leader, I've always had an issue with having people get in and out of our ministry and they don't stick. But then I've realized through discipling, you can get ministers that can actually stick with the ministry. And I thank the Lord for TPI for bringing this opportunity in Uganda so that they can teach us to become relevant in our communities as ministers and also leave a stamp in the ministry. God bless you so much for everybody who picks up, for everybody who accepts to come to Uganda and teach. I want to bless my teachers and the directors of TPI. And I am very sure if I'm given an opportunity to also extend this, I will do. But I'm already started in my own ministry right now because I already know what to do, and I already know what to do with the youth in order to help them grow in spiritually and physically in ministry. God bless you.
Now, this is Alex. He's the youth pastor at Macumbi's Church. And what he has, he started thinking this last time we came, when we started talking about your ministry is really only as deep as the number of people that you have helped to be able to have an intimate relationship with God on their own. The people you're carrying, that doesn't really speak about what your ministry is. if you haven't gotten somebody who is able to learn how to open up that scripture and to hear and to find and to follow Christ themselves, so in other words, you don't have to lead them, they can follow Christ themselves, then you haven't really made a disciple yet. And he had been thinking about that, and he had been trying to figure out how does he do that, because it started to bother him that they have a lot of people, like, you know, we have in Christianity today, a lot of people who get real excited, they're convicted, they want to follow God, and 6 months or a year later, they're gone. And he was thinking, why? What is this? And he even asked us when we were sitting there, he said, you know, I've been asking myself this question, why do people not stick? And he said, it's obvious. He didn't know why he didn't stick. He's not discipling them. He's not helping them grow deeply spiritually. Everything is on the surface. And so he's realized that he needs to get that Bible out. He needs to sit down with them. He needs to interact with them where he can see, where are you spiritually? Not what do I want to show you, but where are you spiritually? What can you understand? What is God dealing with in your life right here? And let's search the scripture and find the answer so that you can learn how to search the scriptures and have a relationship with God. And they're already starting to do that with themselves, with their wives, and they're planning on doing it. I'm sure by now they've already started doing that with their youth, and I know they're doing it in the worship team also. But it starts right here. There is no spiritual growth outside God's word. Because the Bible tells us, as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. And so if God is thinking way up here and we're thinking way down here, if we're trying to figure out what God wants by how we feel or by what we think logically makes sense, we are going to be way, way below what God wants, and we're not going to be able to achieve it. We have to have the revelation from the Holy Spirit of what God wants for our lives through His Word. So if you can't read and dig in and meditate and allow God to speak to you through the Word, you're still moving to be a disciple. You're not ready to be a disciple maker yet, because all of these things have to be about the Word of God. We walk through life, what we want is wisdom, right? We have knowledge, which is information. Sometimes we call that observation when we're talking about studying the Bible. And knowledge itself, the Bible tells us, is very dangerous because it puffs people up. It makes people proud. I got the right answer. I know what to do. I know more than you do. It elevates me if I can pull out a Bible and I can do a Bible study with you and I know the answer and you don't. And the Bible says that's not good, because with knowledge has to come understanding. And that means understanding God's ways of what He's doing, because the goal of our instruction, Paul says, is what? The goal of our instruction is love. The goal of our instruction is not knowledge. The goal of our instruction is that we have the heart of God and we love like God does. And so we have to understand what the heart of God is like and understand how He wants us to live in this world. That's understanding. That doesn't do you any good if you can't apply it. That's what we call interpretation, is understanding. I get the correct interpretation of what God is trying to tell me. Then I have to apply it. Because if I can't take that knowledge and that understanding, and I can't see how that fits into what's happening in the situation I'm dealing with right now, or how that needs to be helped and shared with someone else who's struggling, then what good is it? We're seeking wisdom, and we're seeking those things of being able to understand what and why does God tell us the things He's telling us. We can't have to understand those things so that we can share those things. That's what discipleship is like. And one of the things, and really what I wanted to kind of do, is just really briefly give you just the rundown, which we do this all the time. This is kind of like preaching to the choir. But there's a place and a purpose for preaching and large group teaching, which is what I'm doing right now. And that is that, you know, I've spent years and years and years and years and years studying and doing discipleship. And so I've learned a lot. I wish I could have started at the beginning with what I do it so much better this year than I did it last year. And I did it better last year than the year before, because I'm learning and understanding more and more how to do it. I wish I could start over with my kids. I would do it all differently. But thank God for the grace of God, because I was trying. He did at least he did a pretty good job with it, I think. But the place and purpose of preaching and large group is really to stretch. It's really so that we come up here and I proclaim the gospel and God speaks, but Emily is hearing it different than Patty does, and Patty's hearing it different than Dave does, and Dave's hearing it different than Sean, and hearing it different than Todd. It's because we all are hearing and picking up and catching from the framework of what we've got, because all wisdom and knowledge builds step by step. And so I'm preaching here, I got no idea what you're thinking. Sometimes I have people afterwards come up and say, man, that really touched me. I learned this and this, and that's not what I was preaching about. But that's okay, because it God touched them, and it's the train of thought. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to let the Spirit of God take that word and stretch where we're thinking, so the conviction of God makes us realize there's more than what I see. There's more than what I understand. I have to move and grow closer to God. And I'm laying out a lot of times a lot of theology, which is hard to remember all of it. But it's got a place in there. And through the foolishness of preaching, God draws people and he creates a desire in people. But it's really hard when I have no idea how you're processing things for me to help you, maybe if you're struggling and understanding things. How many of you are like me? A lot of the things that I understand now, I really struggle through to understand. A lot of those things. And so there's a place for large group teaching, and it's very, very important. There's a place and purpose of a small group discussion. And all a small group discussion is meditating together on God's word. You know, our sign back there says, gather, grow, and go. This is God's vision for the church. It's God's vision for every individual. I don't know everything myself. I can't see everything myself. And so we gather together because the Holy Spirit is in each one of us. He gives us different talents, different gifts, different perspectives, different degrees of understanding. And we meditate together on his word. Your small group has to be focused on God's word, or else it's really not achieving what God wants. He wants us to become more mature in our Christian walk, more able to love like he does. And so we meditate together, and what the small group does is it allows me to think, wow, you know, I never thought of it the way Fred did. You know, there's a different perspective that Aaron has. It helps me realize that there's more to what God says than what I understand or what I think. And it opens my mind and it stretches it. And I have a chance to be able to interact more with a small group than I do with a large group, but not completely, because there's other people in there. All of you have been in small groups at times where you were thinking something, but the discussion's going someplace else, and so you don't share that. You've been in places where you felt like, I might be uncomfortable if I share this thing, but I am thinking it. And so there's a place for small group, but the real work takes place when we get one-on-one. It's really good to realize that some people think differently. And you know what? The more I think about it, the more I realize what they're thinking is right. And small groups can give us that. But one-on-one discipleship is where the real rubber meets the road. And you can't really grow without that, because I need somebody that I'm talking to, and they need someone they're talking to who will concentrate on what they're thinking and talking about. And there's enough of a discussion to go through the parts of that I'm struggling with and I don't understand because of who I am and what my personality is. And this is probably the most powerful thing that we did in the thing. We sat down, and Jonathan and I sat down, and we just did a little Bible study on one verse, or a little one-on-one discipleship, whatever you call it. And we just started off by just talking about what the scripture says right there. And as we're doing that, I'm asking him questions, and I'm kind of prodding with things to get the direction going of his thinking, or stretch that direction, until he starts relating it to what's happening in his life right here. Because what I'm looking for is where does God want him to grow? I'm not looking for him to sit there where I just give him all my thoughts. You know, when we're sitting there one-on-one, either God is working on me to grow or working on him to grow, usually both at the same time. But what what we're thinking is really important. And so we just sat there and we looked at this and we talked about, what are you seeing this? What are the principles you see God trying to say? What's this? Until it starts to come out what's happening in his life. And this kind of surprised the Ugandans because they were not used to somebody being that transparent when they're talking about God's word. And so we talked through those things, and what we're looking at is taking one spiritual step at a time. Let me just back up. I'll give you this example right here. It was funny the way it worked out. If I can go back, I guess I can't. But taking one step at a time, we worked through this thing, and we were working on Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruits of the Spirit. And what we were talking about as it came up is Jonathan said, well, I'm not experiencing these emotions right now because of this that's happening in my life that I'm worried about. I'm afraid this is going to happen. And so we started talking about how those emotions God created us to have as guideposts. He tells us what the fruits of the Spirit are. If we have these emotions, it's pretty easy to be patient. If we have negative emotions, it's pretty hard to be patient. It's easy to be kind when I'm full of love, joy, and peace and gratitude towards God. It's a little harder to be kind when I'm stressed out about something else. And so God gives us those emotions so that we can understand when we're getting out of line in our thinking and our perspective is not godly. We need to stop. We need to seek his word and say, now, what is God doing? What is he saying? So we go through all of that, and I told them that I was going to write this list that was on the board right there, because instead of just, you know, talking, I might have had Jonathan write it down, or we might have just talked through it. I said, I'm going to write it up so you can see it as we go through this. So as soon as we get done, somebody raised their hand, and they said, that list that you have right there, some of those are sins, and some of those are temptations, and like anger is a temptation, but just because you're angry doesn't mean you sin. And he started going through this, and all of that's correct. And I let him talk through for a while, and I said, okay, who can tell me why I didn't go into any of that? I agree with everything he said, but who can tell me why I didn't touch any of that? And everybody was silent. And I said, well, what do you think would have happened if I would have gone through and explained all these things? Because they're all related to the verse, right? And somebody goes, well, we wouldn't remember the other. I said, neither would Jonathan. Because when you're meeting one-on-one, what you're looking is you're saying, God, what are we looking for that we need to know to make one step in spiritual growth? One truth that sets me free, that helps me be a truer follower of Christ. You know, I know people who've been Christians for 30, 40 years, and they cannot tell you 10 truths about God that have set them free. They still struggle with the same things because they're always taking these huge chunks and they're never digesting it down and they're never sitting with somebody and they're never working to see what is God trying to teach me to set me free to be a better follower of Christ. Set me free in my emotions. Set me free in what I'm doing. And that made a huge, huge difference in there. Focusing on seeing, which is observation. I mean, if I don't know what the scripture says, I'm never going to come to the right conclusion of what it says. So I have to look at it in context. I have to look and slow down and see the tenses of the verbs and who he's talking to. And I just have to observe and meditate on everything that verse is really saying and look at it kind of like a detective. And then understanding. We see and then we understand. That is getting that correct interpretation. What is God trying to say? What is the truth? Not a verse out of context that we so often see used to propagate ungodly thinking. And then applying that word or making, you know what I'm talking about. Getting that word, using that word in my life. It's just like that's what stunned them the most, is that Jonathan, as he went through that thing, he was talking about real life, real scripture. And I don't care how long you've been a Christian, how many of you know if you read God's word, he's going to speak to you. He's going to tell you, he's going to teach you, he's going to correct you, he's going to try to train you in righteousness. And so as he's looking at that, he's applying it, and his whole perspective changed on that, and he was free from worrying about that because he realized this is in God's hands, and God is using this, and rather than worrying about what's going to happen, I need to be looking for what is God doing and what's my opportunity to help guide it in that way. But God's word is becoming alive to him and God's leadership. So growing spiritually together in God's word. I love when we broke them up and we said, go do it. It was like their personalities all came alive. And they were like, they were in there. And we had given them those scriptures. They were searching for wisdom, sharing their life in Christ with one another and relating it to God's word. And we just had one verse on those things for them to look at. I love this one where the guy's pointing, you know, no. Says this, and just to take a look right there and to see them looking, sharing, and searching for what God was saying that would change the way they view how they're living their lives. This is called renewing the mind and transforming the heart. When our perspective changes and we start to see things from God's perspective, our feelings change, and we're set free. And so those are the things we're looking at. I'm just going to end asking you a couple of questions. The first one I mentioned a while back in here one time, and I said, what do you think God is going to ask you when you come to the judgment seat? What question is God going to ask you? Well, he's going to ask you, where are your disciples? Because that's the Great Commission. That's what he wants. He wants you to become a disciple maker. He's going to ask you, where are your disciples? And it's just interesting. It's interesting how sometimes, you know, Sean had somebody come up to him and say, how does he know what he's going to ask us? Well, if you read the Great Commission, if you read what he's called his disciples to, if you read, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathers not scatters abroad. I mean, even being with Jesus is in the context from Jesus' words of whether or not you're gathering people into the kingdom and helping them grow. It's just interesting how we've taken that out. And so the question is are you a disciple maker? You know, the Ugandans came to us afterwards and they said, man, they said, we know what we need to do, we want to do it, but we're scared. Because you guys, and I told you before how, you know, Mukumbi's 60, which is very rare in that group. So we've got three people out of the four who are older than that, and of all the teams who've come, Jonathan and one of the guys are the only ones under 60. And so, you know, they said, you know, you guys have all this wisdom, you have all this experience, you're telling us these scriptures and you're relating to what you're doing, and we don't have that experience. And I told them, I said, well, discipleship is not knowledge. I think Cindy said it best when I said it the other day. It's not destination, it's direction. I mean, you guys are sold out to Christ. You want to please Christ. You want to do what God wants. You are searching to understand his word. You are understanding it better than you did yesterday. You are disciples who are growing and trying to learn what the master wants to do, and you want to do the work the master has to do. You can lead. There's somebody who wants to be like you. And that's where it is. So are you a disciple maker? Is that on your radar? I know for many of you in this room it is. For all of you it needs to be, because the promises of God are attached to whether or not we draw near and follow him. Then God blesses us. Or if we decide to go the other way, instead of working in us, God is working what? On us, to get us to wake up and go in the right direction. And so, are we walking as a disciple? Are we a disciple? Are we trying to grow to be like Christ so that we can complete the work on earth that he has left for us through our personality, through our gifts, and through our talents? Those are the important questions.
All right. Thank you very much, TPI. This is Brian Kasuzi, a member of Victory Living God Church, a father, a husband. I'm very grateful for this ministry. TPI, thank you very much for blessing my life. Thank you very much for this kind of information and this kind of series and training that you have brought in my country and in my life. It has impacted me, and I assure you that the Lord has been faithful for these past 4 days. It has been amazing. I've learned how best I can do the commission of my calling. I've learned how to disciple. I've learned how to make many disciples as the Lord has called me to do so. I'm really very grateful. Thank you for the handouts. Thank you for the trained trainers. Thank you for the wonderful teachers. I'm really grateful. May the Lord richly bless you, and may He give you all that you ever desire for your life. Thank you very much. God richly bless you. Thank you.
Does that guy seem excited? Let me tell you about him. Over the last 6 months, he's had a big failure in his business, and he is almost about to be wiped out, not sure where he's at. But he knows what God wants him to do, and he knows that he just has to trust God for the rest. And now, this is the benefit of being a disciple maker. This is the benefit of knowing what God's mission for you is. This is what gives you the ability to say, you know what? God has promised He will give me whatever I need to achieve His purposes. And so everything's falling apart. I've got children. I've got a wife. My business is falling apart. I don't know how I'm going to be able to make up this business loss that I have, but I do know this. God has just revealed to me how I need to relate to the people in the worship team, which Brian is on. And I'm going to start discipling them. And he's excited about what God is going to do. This is what's called the peace that passes understanding. And it's the joy of the Lord. Because he knows this, come follow me, Jesus says. He's doing that. And Jesus says, if you do that, I will make you what? I will make you fishers of men. He doesn't say, if you do that, I will see you through life and make sure that you survive through this. I will make you fishers of men. It's the calling that we have. Question is, will we do it? Are we afraid to get in there, or will we do it? And I think in the atmosphere we have right here, like I said, I know we're preaching to the choir, but I think it's important to clarify and to learn as we go, and to learn, you know, how do I run my small group? What's my goal in my small group? My goal in my small group is that everybody in that small group is doing one-on-ones and small groups with other people. That everyone in my small group has become intimate enough with Christ and confident enough and equipped with Christ that they are disciple makers. That's the goal. And that's what we want to look for. So let me just give you just a moment to pray, and then I'm gonna close this. Father, when we think of the work that you have called us to, we say the same thing that Paul did. Who is sufficient for this? We don't have the ability or the insight or the understanding or the knowledge even to be able to solve the problems and remove the obstacles in people's hearts that keep them from being with you and where you want them to be. But we also know, Lord, that you are the one who does the work and that you are working through us. You have chosen us to be your hands and to be your feet and to be your mouth. You've chosen us to show that friendship and that love that builds that trust. And Father, we know that as we go, you will equip us. And you will help us to grow because we're following you and trying to learn how to serve and how to help and to share God's love and truth like you did. And as we follow you, Lord, you are molding and making us, and you are filling our lives with love for you as we see you transform who we are. But we also see, Lord, as the generations pass by, what an important piece in the puzzle we are. You truly have given each one of us a valuable eternal worth in your kingdom. And you are trusting us to put you and your agenda above our desires for the world. God, forgive us for being distracted. Forgive us for not understanding that you're our inheritance and we can share that inheritance with others. And there is no inheritance other than you that lasts. Help us not to be distracted with the things that'll fade away and we can't keep, But help us, Lord, to trust you to do the miraculous revelation of seeing people come to you and grow in you. And may your kingdom come, and may your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. In Christ's name we thank you. Amen.